Hello, today we are meeting Open from England and we'll be talking about our life, how to shift towards abundance and more happiness. Hello, Open.
Hi.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself. Exactly where are you from? What's your background and this kind of stuff?
Okay, so I had a very quite an unusual incarnation, which happened as a soul exchange around the incident of a near-death experience in a car crash back in 2002. And so that precipitated the exchange of souls, a walk-in situation over a period of years. It took a period of years to integrate that. And so I had a sacred agreement with the previous soul that it was his yearning to ascend and move on. And it was mine to come here and share information, share a perspective, and to support the shift of consciousness, which is happening across our planet right now. So it's an unusual exchange, an unusual incarnation. And since that time, I've been sharing perspectives and information about the shift.
How does this agreement specifically or technically happen? Is this something that your original soul was kind of worse than this one? How is it?
It was simply that the original soul was yearning to ascend and leave this place, that he had journeyed sufficiently and integrated what was desired in order to move on to another plane of existence, as many souls are feeling at this time. And I was connected through the ether with that soul as a guide, and that facilitated an opportunity to incarnate. And it was my soul's yearning to come here and work in the shift, hence the exchange was facilitated.
Okay, so what kind of understanding does your the soul, the current soul, have? I mean, your souls are developed in different way. The previous one has to experience some other stuff, and this one is already developed in specific areas of life.
That's yes. Yes, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
What are the understandings which you have now?
Okay. Well, a multitude, but it took me some years to fully integrate and understand what had actually transpired, but then it became clear. Well, it actually became clear from a very early stage that it was my purpose to share what I understand is going on in the shift. When I came in, when I incarnated, I saw vision, through the car crash, I saw visions of what the earth is coming to. And that was an immediate inspiration to begin to share that with people. And I realized, you know, very quickly that I had a deep understanding of the nature of reality and the shift, what these shifts of consciousness are like. But I did need to be able to find a vocabulary and integrate that through this vehicle. So it took some time to do that.
Okay, so let me ask the basic question of many, many people. How to discover who am I?
Okay, that's a big question. And I would say to be the observer of what's going on internally is crucial. The challenge of society and how people are living now is there's so much external distraction that's amplifying that you're drawn into the external drama all the time, trying to fix something out there or trying to catch up with something or trying to manufacture some kind of outcome. And so what you do is you build whole bunch of internal programs which become an identity in relation to what is going on out there. And if you if you allow that dynamic to persist, then you don't discover the true nature of yourself. But if instead of just being engaged out there, you turn at least a part of your awareness, ideally 50% of your awareness, inside and just simply observe, witness, then something happens after a period of time, is that you recognize yourself as the witnesser of what is going on, rather than that which is locked into what is going on. And that's a major step. That's the first major step. You become the witnessing aspect of what's going on out there. And there might be then for some time a kind of disconnect between the two. But after, if you keep challenging, if you keep watching, and then if you keep observing your behaviorisms in the lower self, that will start to unwind and unpack over time, unravel. The identity starts to unravel and you start to realize yourself more as the witnessing aspect. And that expands, integrates, and deepens the more you put attention on it. And you'll go through various shifts of consciousness, and ultimately you come to a place where you realize yourself as pure presence. And that feels like a kind of openness, a transparent openness. It feels like there's no one here at that point. You become the one. And from that, then, your soul, a stream of consciousness, flows through the old body mind. And ideally, then, it comes through seamlessly. It takes time, clearly. It's a big journey to come through then seamlessly, the various elements of the body mind. When you start by being the witnesser of yourself, that's the first, be the first step, I would say.
Okay, so please explain, what is the so-called normal relationship between our being and the ego, and what is better, what kind of relationship is better between our being and the ego, and what is the ego?
Okay, good question. So for most people in the beginning, there's a disconnect between the being and the ego, and the being is suppressed and people are just coming from the ego. And but then over time, the ego will be challenged, especially as the shift is unfolding, because the fabric of reality is being challenged. And so the ego starts to go into fear and worry and anxiety. And then at some point, there's a questioning aspect of what the ego is. And that's when the internalization can begin. So in the beginning, there's a disconnect. Then there's a looking inside. Then there's a slow realization that you are that which is witnessing and not the ego. And then we start to challenge the ego. And the ego starts to unravel, unpack. Then you're coming into presence, and from presence, then soul is flowing. Your authentic beingness, your authentic stream of consciousness. Now, when the soul flows, it comes into the various layers of the body mind. We could say they are physical, emotional, mental, karmic, and higher self. And as it comes in, it fragments around places where it identifies with this reality. That might be a physical identification over existential issues. That might be emotional over relationship issues. This might be programming due to society in the mind or upbringing. This might be karmic, past life karma. So there's a fragmentation, and this is where I then start to identify. It comes up as these places will trigger, and they'll fire off reactions and they'll bring me back into the ego self. So beingness is then interrelating with ego, challenging it. And the more you center in the beingness and challenge these fragments, then the density unravels, the fragments come back into alignment and integrate. And now you're coming from beingness through the soul seamlessly, ideally then. And so the ego is dissolved. But you still have the body mind through which the soul is expressing.
So dissolving of the ego is kind of walking out of the illusion, yes?
Yes, but the question is how we walk out. Because there's a big challenge is in the spiritual mainstream is this, the idea that what we need to do is just drop the ego like hot coals, whereas that's self-derailing and self-defeating because there are fragments of soul stuck in that. And if you don't unravel, unpack them, then all you do is create an identity in relation to that, which is I'm trying to distance from. Mm-hmm. And so in the open-hand approach, the organization I'm leading, what we do is we activate these triggers, these blockages by regressing people into the feelings of them and then expressing, animating them, which means you become as one with them. When you become as one with them, meaning you don't need them to go away, meaning you're accepting of them, you become the one in them. That's where the attachment unravels. That's where the fragment then reintegrates.
Okay, many people are traumatized by the things which happen in their life, and it builds up their ego, yeah? And they become, they have this idea of being the victim.
Yeah.
And it's very kind of solid, hard inside. Yeah. So how to dissolve this hardness?
Okay, so it's a great question. And the problem is that I see is that we've tried to, let's say you recognize something has happened, some trauma has happened in the past. So, and that has unpleasant feelings, obviously, with it. And so what's often people have tried to do, both in the kind of mainstream health or in mainstreams, in spiritual mainstream, is create a better situation. Put on a better feeling in one way, shape, or form or other, but if, essentially to avoid this, avoid the pain, avoid the density, you know, whether it be a breathing meditation or going out in nature or whatever it is, trying to do something to make yourself feel better because of that. What this actually does is self-derailing because it perpetuates the polarity between the two, even though that might now be suppressed and subconscious. It perpetuates the polarity. And unless, and then that packs layers on, like you said, unless I'm prepared to turn into it, regress into it, actually recall the experiences and allow myself to experience them again, then I don't dissolve it. But if I do that, paradoxically, by allowing myself to go into it, then I dissolve it. And this is what we would call, for example, past life regression, where you go right into the density and you become as one with it. And then you lose your fear of it, you lose your attachment to it, and you become to know yourself as the one in it rather than victimized by it.
If someone hurt us strongly, usually the ego wants to have revenge. How to get rid of this thinking? And what are the results of this vendetta against the perpetrator?
Completely self-derailing and disempowering. Uh-huh. Because if we explore, for example, the law of attraction, but the authentic law of attraction, what does this mean? We are in a space-time continuum of energy, and your consciousness is like an anchor within that space-time continuum. It's like a polarity, a magnet, and it shapes the space-time continuum around you. Therefore, if you draw a perpetrator to yourself, the first thing to realize is that you manifested that person. Or if you draw an unpleasant situation to you, you manifested it. Your consciousness pulled it to you. The question then is why? Why did I pull that person to me? Why did I draw that situation? What is it I cannot accept about the universe? Because being the one, we all speak in the spiritual mainstream of being the one, but what does being the one mean? Being the one means being able to embody, embrace all situations, all circumstances, even the perpetrator, even the other that would do something to me. Now, the thing is, when you become the one, you are flowing as the universe. The universe is happening. If there's any resistance or trying to control, then something is going to come along to challenge that control. So maybe it's because I'm trying to control that I manifest something that's going to control me. And maybe then I need to explore, do I really have control? The answer is, you don't. And instead, can I surrender into the universe and just allow my soul to flow?
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's jump to the topic of karma. The title of one of your articles is Karma Activates in Waves. So please explain why it happens and how would you define karma?
Okay.
And so, to whom it happens?
Everyone. So what I would put to you is this, is that the soul is on a journey of self-realization. In other words, realizing itself as the one. The soul is on that journey. And so the soul flows a stream of light, of consciousness, unity consciousness, into the various densities of the universe. And where it loses its memory, its connection to the one, to the source, it fragments, as we mentioned. And then it creates life experiences around that fragmentation and where it's identifying. And one of those identifications could be when I pass on, for example. Maybe I passed on a battlefield and it was, you know, clearly unpleasant. But at that moment, I'm identifying with reality. I'm making the illusion real. I am knowing myself as something that can be harmed or killed, and that's an illusion. But if the soul is identifying, then it creates a fragmentation around that. And you literally see it when people regress into past life situations. Like, you know, I had someone was beheaded in a past life, and so the soul retracts because the body has died, but a fragment of the soul is still stuck in the body. And so a fragment is stuck in that filter, that energetic filter. And now when the soul withdraws after the passing on, it might go back to the source. But if it's got the density of the karma, the attachment to that experience, then the soul cannot journey to the source. It's held in the fourth density where karma is. And then it recreates and remanifests another lifetime so it can reconfront the karma. And so it does countless times until it's all processed out. Now, we're in a period of time because of the shift where the energy coming into the earth is accelerating. And so it's agitating all of this buried density, including the karma. And so when you get into processing karma, that's why it'll come up in waves. In other words, you'll have one experience of a past life coming up that is for you then to process. You process it very quickly afterwards, maybe a matter of days even, another wave, and then another wave, and then another wave. Now, depending on your ability to turn into and process, determines how quickly you move through. Some of these waves could last, you know, months or even years, or they could last just a few hours or days.
Where do you get the information, the knowledge from?
Okay, so I know myself as a part of what we would call the Benevolent Mission, which is a group of different groups of souls from different constellations that are currently around the earth in the ether. And they're working to raise the awareness and consciousness of humanity. And I know myself as a part of that mission. And so the information, I'm in tune, connected with that pretty much all the time. And so there's a dialogue that's going on and an interrelation from which I'm given to share what I am doing.
Okay, so how other people can also open to this flow of understanding?
Okay, so we talked about how do you awaken to your true self first. So that would be the initial awakening by challenging the external and witnessing, feeling the internal. But that's only the beginning of the journey. There has to come a point where you let go of the need for an external outcome in your life, where you need it to go a certain way, where you resist the sense of rightness of the soul because you're afraid of how it might go, you're grasping on. There needs to be a letting go. And at the point there's a letting go, then you really start to tune into the soul. The soul feels like a sense of rightness coming through you. It feels like authenticity coming through you. And you're there's a crucial shift, which we call, and I spoke about it in the Five Gateways film, there's a crucial shift where you're making choices from the ego to now you're making choices from the soul as a sense of beingness. It becomes more your focus to come from beingness. What's my authentic being now? And allowing life to flow from there. When you're coming from authentic beingness, you are automatically plugged in to the source, the universe, and then I maintain you become a part of an understanding of what the shift is all about.
Okay. We are on this planet called Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
Why? What is going on between us and this planet, and what kind of relationship is that?
Interesting question, yeah. So Gaia is going through a major karmic realignment, or has been herself, where she's manifested this tremendous multiplicity of physical form, and yet it's a density where it's easy to get lost in. So if you come into this density, it's so real. You know, I pick up a cup, or you know, something to eat, or you know, you have a picture of a tree behind you. You know, it's so easy to engage and be lost within that. And so we have this very physical relationship with Gaia, which benefits her too. It's an empathic dynamic between the two, but just as she has suffered, so has humanity, really, by being fully locked into that. So I think it is a dynamic that's working between the two, and Gaia is wanting to find a greater connection, a greater interrelation back with the universe, because there's been a disconnect there too, in my knowing, and an encouragement to bring other life with her. So there is a dynamic. It's like, you know, we're the physical children of Gaia, really.
Uh-huh. And will we have a polar shift or solar flash? What is your knowledge about that?
Okay, so we're coming into a convergence of some key, crucial, cyclical factors which are not being properly spoken of and not being widely spoken of. So we're experiencing major shifts in the climate, for example. We've got storms out here, you have bushfires in Australia, you have mountains of snow in Canada, you have storms across Europe. Yeah, it's all being put down to man-made climate change and release of CO2. That's only a small factor compared with the pole shift, which is accelerating and probably about 30 years from completion. What that's doing is lowering the Earth's magnetic field strongly. That's allowing more cosmic rays to come in, and the cosmic rays are impacting the ionosphere, which is cascading down into the jet streams and impacting the weather patterns globally. And that's much more impactful than is the human footprint. That's one factor. The second factor is, at the same time, we're moving into major solar changes, like, for example, the grand solar minimum, which is actually also increasing the cosmic radiation coming into the Earth and the rest of the solar system. You see all the atmospheres on all the other planets changing dramatically. But there's even one more factor which is not being hoisted on board, and that's we're moving through a high energy area of the galaxy, And we're due the onset of what's known as a galactic superwave, which is a trigger which can take the sun, which if and when it comes, will most likely take the sun into a solar micronova event. This is what people are talking about in alternative circles, New Age circles, as the event. And when a solar flash comes, well, that's going to have a major impact on the Earth, and that will probably precipitate the completion of the pole shift.
Mm-hmm. From the broader perspective, how do you perceive the humanity as slaves of the system, of the reptilians, or those perpetrators, if we perceive them, are doing some good for us? Our soul benefits. How do you understand this question?
Yeah, okay, big question. Okay, so yeah, there's both in many ways it's helping the soul develop, whether there's a malevolent energy or a benevolent one. Even the malevolent one can highlight where we go unconscious internally. But yes, what the earth has suffered, a controlling intervention by extraterrestrial energies, entities who've come from different constellations, from Sirius, from Orion, from Draco, and their purpose has been to take over the natural resources of the Earth and to embody and create society here. And what they've done is they've downgraded, hybridized the human vehicle into Homo sapiens from what original humans were, switched off various of the DNA, and inserted certain genes that cut us off from higher dimensional awareness. That's what's essentially happened. And then infused an agenda to exploit the planet, to consume the resources, and to further their own purpose of creating a civilization which is enslaved by them. And they've been very effective at it. But what's happened too, this has not gone unseen by the benevolent energies around the earth. This has not gone unseen by that. And so there's a whole array of different groups come from the Pleiades, from Arcturus, Andromeda, other places, come here to unpack, unravel that intervention. And to do so by awakening humanity to their authentic original frequencies and bringing those awake, and the shift of the earth is amplifying that too. So it's all working together to break that intervention down and to realign souls back into the natural flow. So it has been an intervention, but there's also benevolent support coming to unwind it.
Okay, so even though we have this difficult situation, how can we open to abundance, to being happy all the time?
Is that okay? Helpful? Two things. First thing, what is abundance? That's the first thing to rationalize inside of oneself. And I would put it to you that if abundance means physical, material things in the outer, then there will never be enough. There will never be enough to fulfill, because the abundance that the soul is really looking for is the abundant connection with the universe, is the cycle of Kundalini, the natural cycle of Kundalini, which constantly delivers reflections of beingness. You know, we have to ask, what is the universe doing? What is it all about, if not an expression, a reflection of itself in everything that's going on? If I look in nature, nature is a reflection, expression of the one. And if I choose to see myself and realize myself in the external mirror, then I'm being very abundant, whether I'm sitting in a penthouse suite or homeless on the streets. You know, I recall being at a workshop in Chicago, and I was having coffee at a coffee shop just afterwards, sitting in the high street, watching people, this person, a homeless person, sitting on the sidewalk, and all these people, tourists going by with, you know, cameras going and photographing all of these, you know, great, you know, artifacts and architecture and everything, and smart cars and everything else. And here's this person rags on the pavement with a big smile on the face. And after I'd finished my coffee, I went over to her and said, look, you've been sitting here for an hour and no one has been giving you any money, yet you've got this big smile on your face. What's the story? She said, yeah, because I'm connected, because I know the God inside of me, and therefore I know that I'll be looked after. And to me, that is true abundance. And then to come to the second question about being happy, you cannot know happiness. We're in a relativistic universe. You cannot know happiness if you don't know sadness. The two are different sides of the same coin. Sadness is just as spiritual as happiness. The problem with sadness we have is not that it exists, but that we attach to it or resist it. Sadness is just as spiritual as happiness. The one is attached to neither condition. And to find true happiness, meaning contentment, is to allow yourself to experience all emotions, but not attach to any of them.
Mm-hmm, super. Okay, the questions we were talking about, these are just the samples of the broad spectrum of the topics which you cover in your workshops. You travel mm-hmm. around the world mm-hmm. for how many years already?
About the last 10 or 12 years.
Okay. And your workshops are your workshops last like 2 or 3, how many days?
Well, I have a series of 3, and they could be an evening seminar, they could be a day workshop or a weekend, up to a retreat of 5 or 7 days.
Okay, so I think in how many minutes? About like 30 minutes we covered your workshop, yeah? You have something.
Yeah. So basically, that's the essence of what the workshops will be about. But what I do then is I take people into meditation to experience that for themselves. So I'll offer various segments of what we've shared, but only as a framework for inquiry. The important thing is I'm not telling people this is the truth. I'm saying this is my perspective. I believe it, else I wouldn't share it. But this is a perspective. And how about we meditate on that and see what you experience? And that's the point. Because the shift, it can be talked about, but it has to be embodied by the person. It has to be real for them.
Yes, super. Okay, so we invite people to your website mm-hmm. where they can discover more if they are interesting. And something for the wrap-up.
Yeah, just to say that we are in the most phenomenal times imaginable. And to allow a sense of excitement and adventure to well up with inside of you and not be worried or fearful or attached to what is going on outside, or if you are, to unpack your attachment to it by realizing yourself as the one. And as you come into that, you realize that as everything transforms, it's going to bring the one in you awake. And that's exciting. That's adventurous. That begins a tremendous journey which we're embarked upon. And so that would be my encouragement, is to tune into that. Yeah, and come along to the work. So we have a workshop happening at the Sound Temple near Gdansk at the end of March. So end of April. So... yeah, it's come along to that too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, super. So thank you a lot for introducing yourself to the Polish audience. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I enjoy it. Thank you.